Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Fringe Show Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Saragon. Let's get into the first news story of today, and this is, surprise, surprise, claims of nepotism and unfair disciplinary practices within the MK party relating to Duduzile Zuma Sambudla, who is, of course, Jacob Zuma's daughter, the founder of the party. Well, I don't think he's the technical founder, but the spiritual founder of the party, who's being accused by her opponents in the party of having the rules basically not being applied to her. She is, according to her opponents within the party, being treated with kid gloves. Now, she had a big fight with the Secretary General of the MK party, Floyd Shivambu, who left the EFF to join the MK party, where she said on social media some rather nasty things about Floyd Shivambu. She got very upset with Floyd Shivambu, said, quote, fuck you, and quote, Floyd Shivambu is the worst thing to happen to MK. She also called him useless and referred to him as a newcomer. She was ordered to apologize to Zuma. She was ordered to apologize to the party and to the public for her response. But she kind of gave a very lukewarm response, saying that she recognizes that such concerns should be and shall be addressed through the proper internal channels as dictated by the core values and principles of the glorious movement of the people. There are now many insiders in the party who are complaining that since this supposed apology, she has not changed her behavior whatsoever, and the fighting continues with some pushing for her expulsion from the party. The media asked the MK's head of discipline, Dalian Porfu, for comment, and he did not respond to those questions. Sara, this, I guess, is the reason why you have to have internal processes, why you have to have disciplinary steps, and you have to have some sort of consistent code of conduct. You have to have, in a sense, the rule of law, especially within a political party, because otherwise your organization is going to be a dysfunctional, anarchic mess. The question is MK going to be fit for the next election?
Well, it's a very big question. I mean, I know some analysts say that, you know, the MK is going to grow, et cetera, et cetera. But if you look at the former relative success of the ANC and certainly the success of the DA, their longevity is about organization. It's not about centering everything around a particular personality. And, you know, the one thing we know about MK is that, well, probably Dalian Porfu may not have even known he was the head of the disciplinary process within the party. And I think that, I think I'm more inclined to sort of Chris Pappas's view of MK being someone who's run Umgeni successfully and is a fluently Zulu language speaker. He says he thinks MK is going to go down, you know, going to deteriorate by very virtue of the fact that it doesn't have structures, it doesn't have organization, it does. I'm not sure if it has principles, but you know, that's another thing altogether. And that's the problem when something's coalesced around somebody who is as disorganized as Zuma. He's not in the ANC anymore. The ANC always provided the organization within which he could operate. And his daughter, I think, is also, much as I dislike her intensely, she's also underlined the fact that I don't think Floyd is an unalloyed success. And I think his much touted organizational skills are by all accounts from the report, found wanting. So nepotism, you know, what on earth did anyone think?
Yeah, that is probably the funniest thing about this, is that anyone thought there would not be blatant nepotism within the MK party. But the larger sort of point here is made that MK is going to, they claim their plan is to return to the ANC, to take it over from within, and then the ANC will suddenly be back over 50%, able to rule the country with an iron fist, and Zuma will be the great hero of the ANC who has restored the party to its former strength. This is a similar story the EFF sometimes tells as well. I guess the question, Sara, is this actually a realistic thing? I'm sure people like Panyaza Lesufi think that this may be the path towards the ANC's return to fortune and control over the country. But these guys who are forming part of MK, they left the ANC for a reason. They didn't get on with each other and with the ANC's current members when they were in the party. I doubt they're going to get on with them if they try and go back. Not that all of them would even go back. And I suspect that the party that sort of the smooth internal takeover by the RET faction, as they used to be called, is probably not very realistic. What's your take on this?
Well, no other than Moletsi Mbeki, the analyst, has said that the ANC is dying. And as we look at the ANC now, it's been a downward trajectory in terms of competence, skills, intellectual heft, etc. So MK may go in and take over, but you know, they'll have to have got over killing each other for the top spot first before they succeed in that. And I'm not sure there'll be a coalition of anything meaningful organizationally. So I think they might be sorry about what they wish for.
Indeed. And you can kind of see that, I think, in the fact that when SRF poll, they ask people, you know, would you vote for the ANC if Cyril Ramaphosa was not the leader of the party? And the ANC's numbers drop significantly. So if you think that replacing the leadership of the ANC with someone from MK is going to suddenly bring thousands of people back, I think you are lying to yourself. And I think this is a delusion that some in the ANC seem to have. All right, let's move on to our next story, which is, I think, guess kind of related, and this is the state of municipal governance, specifically in KZN, where the Auditor General recently gave a report to members of the KZN provincial legislature about the last financial year's findings, finding that 92% of the municipal budgets, total budgets, if you put them all together in one pot, was being spent in a way that isn't consistent with the law. That the only municipalities within KZN that seem to be managing their money even vaguely within the limits of what the law said were basically some of the smaller ones, and all the bigger ones were misspending on a huge scale. Importantly, the Auditor General identified in her report municipalities which she said fell into what she called the yellow zone. This is municipalities where, quote, you'll find poor service delivery, poor project management, poor infrastructure maintenance, procurement processes that go in the wrong direction and drive leakages of spend. Now, this report found that 76% of municipalities in KZN fell into the so-called yellow zone. She said that, quote, someone in the yellow zone is not fine. Most of the municipalities in the province sit in that yellow zone. This is an incredible reduction in the quality of governance, where even just a few years ago in the 2020-2021 municipal financial year, only 36% of KZN municipalities fell into the yellow zone. That's now up to 79%, which is a massive increase in such a short space of time. Sara, what's your take on this?
Well, the drop has been dramatic, but it's also coincided with the ANC's poor fortunes in the national election. If you remember, of course, the last local elections happened 2 years before that, or 3 years before that even. So they were in a very different space. I think with the decline of the ANC in general, the tolerance for the deterioration amongst voters in next year's election is going to be very much lower, very much more quickly. So it really is an opportunity for perhaps literally the other parties in the GNU to capitalize on the fact that it is clear that the one thing the ANC doesn't appear to be able to do, which is what the SRF poll said could bring it back up to, say, 40%, is deliver something. And clearly that's not happening. So while it's bad news because that's where people experience politics at its most visceral, it also means that perhaps the potential for change, the crisis is actually an opportunity.
Well said, I think. All right, let's move on to our last story. And this is, you may have heard of the group called Operation Dudula, who are famous for harassing foreigners, preventing them from having entry to hospitals, harassing foreign-owned shops, and generally calling for the expulsion of all foreigners, whether they are here legally or illegally. Their most famous leader, Lux, left, I think, to join either the ANC or to form his own thing called the Soweto People's Parliament. And the person who took it over is now demanding that the SABC play his music. He says that he is organizing a march to the SABC on May 8th. And he says that Zulu Radio, SABC radio station, Ukhozi FM, and its music compilers are corrupt. He has issued a memo, which is quite strikingly written. Let me read some of it. Revolutionary greetings to South Africans. Allow me to declare my grievance and express my flabbergasting dissatisfactory against the behavior of the SABC Quasi FM music team, which comprises of corrupt music compilers such as Mr. Kethe Gwala, Zanda Mtembu, and program manager Zandile Temba, who have turned SABC institution into mediocrity game playing by the only playing music of the same artist and same record label. He then goes on to say that his record label is being discriminated against, and that there are gangs controlling the municipal, the SABC's infrastructure, and that he should be benefiting from the royalties from the SABC institution. He says that they should be playing his music as long as it complies with the station's criteria of having no vulgar words, no gimmicks, is catchy, has a hook and a sing-along. And he says, in my closing words, I dare the SABC music to further unfairly reject my music without any invalid reasons, because on 10th August 2021, me and my attorneys wrote a complaint which was covered, defended, and covered by SABC board people cannot benefit in democracy on our behalf. That's my last statement and warning to SABC music department. He was asked by the media if he had submitted his music to Quasi FM, and he said, in the past, they played my songs on the station without any hassles, but suddenly in 2018, they started rejecting my music. So this strikes me as nothing more than a shakedown. What's your take on this?
Well, I think, Nick, you and I must make sure we're at the march to see what happens, because I think it's going to be a case of like shaking Stevens. Let's put it this way. The SAB has real problems. I don't think he's their problem. I also think somebody had sort of made a comment recently that, you know, in the next few years, from a political point of view, NGOs are going to play a much greater role. And they mentioned AfriForum and Operation Dula. I would mention AfriForum because this is obviously, you know, I don't think he's going to bring out the hordes to support his desire to get music royalties. And I don't even want to hear his music to prove that I'm right.
Yeah, no, this is exactly the kind of sort of, you know, why does he have any right to have his music played on the SABC? This is entirely, you know, like if he has a complaint of being treated unfairly, then there are channels to complain to this. Some sort of march with a badly written manifesto demanding that they play your music. I mean, to me, it's just the kind of extortionist shakedown that you see so much in South Africa. It's exactly why so many things are not working in this country.
And I've just thought of who should join us at the march is our cartoonist, David DeBell. Because
yeah, there we go.
This has got Monty Python written all over it.
Yeah, no. Anyway, I mean, you know, maybe they are being unfair against him. Who knows? I mean, with the SABC, I wouldn't put it entirely past them. But this is, I think, the sort of state of so many of our institutions now that, you know, you have people threatening marches to get their way. Anyway, on that note, let's call it to a close. Thank you very much for watching today. We hope you found the show interesting. And we will see you soon on The Daily Friend Show. That's a wrap. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.